Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in South Central Iowa and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA and KRLS. Now with today's In-Depth, here's Dr. Bob Leonard.
November is National Diabetes Month. Let's go in-depth with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. Debbie, you're a dietitian. That goes well together.
Yeah. Well, in the Pella Regional, you know, if you call into the operator, there's a Debbie nurse, there's a Debbie scheduler. So if you say, I need to talk to Debbie the dietitian, and people will, it'll get to me.
Well, that's memorable.
Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie the dietitian is the best because of the D's.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so why did you become a dietitian?
Because I've always had an interest in nutrition. And years ago, I was a big fan of Oprah Winfrey, and she had did a lot of things on nutrition and had some kids that had went to like a weight loss camp. And they had dietitians on the show, and I just didn't know it was a profession. So then I pursued it and studied it in college.
Well, and it's National Diabetes Month. Mm-hmm. You want to get the word out. And diabetes, a lot of it is tied directly to nutrition,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why we're talking to you. What exactly is diabetes?
So diabetes is, and a lot of us have heard, elevated blood sugar, and normally it's a deficiency with this hormone insulin. Now the type of diabetes kind of dictates what happens in your body with your insulin. For example, type 2 diabetes, your insulin doesn't work as well, you have insulin resistance. Those people might be on varying degrees of medications. There's oral and there's injectables and insulin. Type 1 diabetes, your body just quits making insulin, and those people will have to inject insulin to live, and they might be on injections or newer devices, insulin pumps. And then we also have gestational diabetes, which is diabetes of pregnancy. And then a newer type that not a lot of people have maybe heard of is LADA diabetes, latent autoimmune diabetes of adults. It's kind of like, it presents initially like type 2 diabetes, but then eventually it turns into type 1 and they have to take insulin. So that's kind of a newer type.
A newer type.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't give it, they didn't help us out any with that name.
No, they wanted to stay in the numbers. It's somewhere in between type 1 and type 2. It's type 1.5, so they got creative in the naming.
And so what is it again?
It's LADA, latent autoimmune diabetes in adults.
So kids don't get it then?
Mm-mm. Normally you're over 30. And it normally happens with very lean individuals. They present with, you know, kind of elevated but not crazy high blood sugars, but then it slowly, they don't probably need insulin initially, but then it slowly progresses over time.
What's juvenile diabetes?
Juvenile diabetes, it typically presents very fast, their blood sugar is really high, and they're normally under 30, and it would be type 1. But you can really get type 1 diabetes at any age. You could be 95 and get type 1 diabetes.
Okay, so it's just type 1 in kids?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I thought it was something special that
mm-hmm.
kids
had. Nope.
Boy, they're really manipulating us with the words here. Type 1, type 2, juvenile is just type 1, and then there's this new
mm-hmm.
one. Okay, so how do you know you have diabetes?
Well, a lot of people would, they're provider or even their employer would screen them. It's a simple blood test. Normally you would do it fasting and you just would prick a finger, a little small drop of blood, and you get the diagnosis of diabetes if your blood sugar is over 126 fasting. So that's how you would find out. You know, a lot of people with their insurance, if they have private health insurance, their employers like to screen for that. A lot of people go to health fairs, or it's kind of a routine lab that you would do probably with your doctor at your annual physical.
You would think that you would be feeling poorly, right? Or no?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it comes on gradually that you don't feel it, especially with type 2 diabetes. So it's good to get screened, especially if you have family members in your family that have diabetes.
Okay, so my grandma had diabetes.
Yep, so it's probably a good idea to get screened. And probably your physician is screening you and testing you every year.
Right. Okay, so it's hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't catch it. It's not like a virus.
Yep. Okay. I always say we get the good things we like from our family, like our eye color, our hair color, our height, but we also get the bad things, the genetics that we don't like, the things we inherit.
But it's not determinant. It doesn't necessarily mean, because my grandma had it, that I do.
Correct. You're just at a higher risk to develop it.
Okay. And so how does one, but it's not like you collapse and you rush to the emergency room and they say, oh, you've got diabetes.
You might present with increased thirst, frequent urination, being tired, which all of us can say, oh, I feel a little more tired than I did. But those are the big symptoms. Sometimes a little bit of weight loss, which again, some people would be happy they lost weight and may not think it's anything alarming. So,
more in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about diabetes with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. So you just have to get the screening.
Yes, I would encourage everyone, you know, it's Diabetes Month. If you haven't been screened in the past year, I know you can go to a lot of different health fairs or even some of our Hy-Vee grocery stores or, you know, at your physician can screen you.
So I've heard of pre-diabetes.
Yes.
What's that?
So pre-diabetes is when your blood sugar isn't quite high enough to have diabetes, but it's higher than normal. So it's typically a fasting blood sugar between 100 and 125.
Okay, so screening's going to tell me that.
Yep,
I'm
exactly.
I'm not going to know if I'm pre-diabetic.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the screening is absolutely critical. You might, are there symptoms of pre-diabetic? Are they the same symptoms?
Similar symptoms to type 2 diabetes. So you might be a little more thirsty, a little more urination, a little more tired.
Huh. What if you've been thirsty and, and tired or whatever for your whole life? I mean, that's probably, needs to be checked.
Just get screened. I think, you know, those of us that work in diabetes, the sooner we can identify it, the sooner we can get you on the proper medications, diet, and exercise routine. So, you know, knowledge is power, so the sooner you know, the better.
Okay, so I guess lots of exercise and good eating.
Mm-hmm. And I specialize in the eating portion of it.
All right, so how do we... So let's just say that I'm pre-diabetic. You can maybe, help me not get to be diabetic by teaching me to eat the right foods?
Correct. The biggest thing with pre-diabetes is studies have shown as little as a 5% weight loss will help you not progress into type 2 diabetes. So, you know, eliminating the simple things, eliminating the regular pop and the sweets and desserts that aren't very nutrient dense, you know, kind of eating more fruits and vegetables and lean meats, and then getting up and getting moving. So many of us, our jobs, we sit. We sit at a computer, we sit at a desk. We don't move like our ancestors did, which is, you know, part of the reason we're seeing more and more of this.
Any particular kind of exercise? I guess it's dependent upon your years and your physical ability.
Mm-hmm. I think I always tell people, pick something you enjoy. If you don't like getting in a pool, don't plan to swim. So, and accessibility, you know, if you live somewhere that doesn't have sidewalks, don't plan to, you know, to walk outside. So anything that's moving your body through space would be good. So the cardiovascular activity with strength training a few times a week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything we do, is there something like, should we be doing a certain number of, let's just say that we'd like walking. Is there a certain number of steps we should strive for a day?
If you're counting your steps, 10,000 steps is a good base for people to try to shoot for. Now, if you have a really active job or an active lifestyle and you get 10,000 every day, then you probably need to get a little more. But typically we have people start with trying to get 10,000 steps a day, which is roughly 5 miles.
And if somebody's running 5 miles, they're probably fine.
Yeah.
Probably outstanding.
Yeah. And I would maybe they want to occasionally run 6, so they'd get a little more activity.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation about diabetes with Debbie Guild, dietitian with the Pella Regional Health Center. And then just as simple as fruits and vegetables?
So we, the food guide pyramid was redesigned many years back, and we're now using the plate method where we'd like half of our plate to be what we call non-starchy vegetables. So anything but corn, peas, and potatoes. So we're talking about asparagus, green beans, broccoli, cabbage, lettuce salad, and then a quarter of our plate, you know, about the size of your palm, of a lean protein, and then a starch. So, you know, sometimes we in the Midwest, most of our plate is a plate of spaghetti or mashed potatoes that are overflowing to the end, kind of having more balance, fruit, vegetables, and meat, lean meats, not overdoing it.
And just one plate.
Right, exactly. And trying to have the food touch.
Okay. All right, very good. Now, I'm guessing if it comes in a wrapper and not on a plate, we probably shouldn't do that very often.
A lot of things that are in a wrapper are going to be a little bit higher in sodium when we think of our convenience, like fast food type things. And then sweets and desserts, like your candy bars and things. I always say they're sometimes foods. You know, we want to be able to enjoy life, but they're not something you want to be eating every day.
So the Snickers bar at 3 every day is...
Yeah, probably not the best idea. Maybe take the Snickers bar and break it apart. So have some dark chocolate one day, have some nuts one day for a snack, and then, you know, once a week have your small Snickers bar, not your big, the king size.
Unless you're sharing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the whole office.
Yeah.
So is there anything that we can do in our families? I mean, do we need to reinforce things? If somebody's diabetic, can we help? Or I guess what's good for the diabetic is good for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As far as a balanced diet that's varied in fruits and vegetables. I once went to a conference that said, you know, if one family member has diabetes, you all should, you know, pass around the meter and have everybody test. I don't know if we want to do that, but maybe encouraging, if you get diabetes, encouraging siblings or children to also, you know, stay on top of it.
Now, I've been reading in the news recently about the increasing high cost of insulin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an issue?
Definitely insurance coverage, whether that's private or Medicare, Medicaid, can be a barrier to getting medications covered. But I think with a good healthcare team, there's lots of different options, coupon codes, things that you can that can help with that coverage, or cheaper alternatives.
Okay, so people are here to help. Mm-hmm. Let's figure that all out.
The problem with, you know, type 1 diabetes is a chronic disease. So you have to take that insulin day in and day out. And it has, the price has risen over time. So I think hopefully with some legislation, that will come down. But it's like any chronic disease, high blood pressure. You know, there are certain meds when you have to take it all the time and the cost goes up, it becomes a burden for people.
Okay, so if we control our diabetes, it becomes a quality of life mm-hmm. issue. We'll be healthier, happier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I was just at the Diabetes Wellness Summit yesterday, and the one thing that struck with me was that well-controlled diabetes is the cause of nothing. So if we, you know, stay with our healthcare team, try to get our blood sugars at the goals that are set for them, it's not going to lead to any complications. I think sometimes people get diabetes and they think it's a terrible thing, but it's a very manageable disease. And if you keep your blood sugars well controlled, it's not going to lead to anything. The complications that you maybe saw in family members or friends was they had high blood sugars and that led to that. So to keep that in mind.
And so potentially it could also lead to a longer lifespan too.
Sure. Yes, definitely.
Can diabetes kill you? Something else associated with it?
Normally, it might be complications from diabetes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Is that a complication?
Yes, that can be heart disease.
Stroke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we minimize through controlling our diet, treating our diabetes, we lessen the chance of heart attacks and stroke and other bad things that happen to
old people. Definitely.
Okay. Any last thoughts you'd like to share? Anything we missed?
I think that, you know, if you don't have a great healthcare team, we have a lot of great providers here. You know, I think diabetes is something that some physicians and providers are really comfortable with and some are not. So we have three at Pella Regional, two nurse practitioners and a PA that are what we call diabetes case management that see patients and adjust medications. And then we also have one in Ottumwa. So I would say you could come and have somebody help you with your diabetes. We also offer a lot of classes and a free diabetes support group. So you can look to our website at Pella Regional. Also, most insurance covers meeting with a dietitian if you have diabetes. So I tell people, if you haven't met with a dietitian in a year, stop in and talk to them, kind of get things fine-tuned, maybe help you get back on track or stay on track through the holidays. So there's lots of different resources within Pella Regional.
Now, I forgot all about the holidays. Any last word of advice about the holidays as we go into them?
I think keep in mind it's what you do 90% of the time. So, you know, have your Thanksgiving, have your Christmas, but just don't let those holidays last 3 months long. You know, have your day, maybe go out for an extra walk with your family or friends and kind of have bites of things. Don't try to overwhelm the plate with, you know, five scoops of mashed potatoes, or you don't need to try every dessert. So,
thanks to Debbie Guild for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
An audio copy of today's in-depth program is available at KNIAKRLS.com on demand or for download. Just click podcasts. If you have topics or show ideas you'd like to hear in depth, contact KNIAKRLS by sending an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's local news and the number one news and information source in South Central Iowa is KNIAKRLS.